Congressional leaders are meeting today with White House officials to talk about a possible deal that could give lasting legal status to people currently benefiting from DACA, or Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. Democrats and more than a few Republicans say they want a DACA fix, but the question now is, what's the price? The president wants money for that border wall with Mexico. He's repeatedly said that any DACA legislation has to be tied to money for that wall. And in recent months, he's also ratcheted up the rhetoric over what he and many people on the right now call chain migration.
Ending chain migration and also ending the visa lottery will allow us to have common sense immigration rules that promote assimilation and wage growth. It also promotes, most importantly, safety. It'll help Americans, both old and new, to thrive, flourish, and prosper.
This is a strategy for a possible deal with Democrats in Congress whose votes may be needed to keep the government open if that's tied to immigration. Dara Lind explains also what this term chain migration that the president is talking about really means.
The way that it gets used, it's kind of just a synonym for family-based immigration, which is the way that a little over half of people who come to settle in the U.S. come is because they have a relative who's a U.S. citizen, or in some cases a green card holder, and their relative says, okay, I'd like to bring my family member over to the U.S. The thing is that a lot of kinds of family-based immigration don't really create chains in the way you think of them, where like one person can bring another person can bring another person. The most common types are just bringing over your spouse, which like you can only bring one spouse over, or bringing over your kids who don't then have other relatives they can bring because they're kids. The more chain-like types of migration are like bringing over adult children, bringing over siblings, other people who might have families that they can bring. And those are pretty limited. They're the lowest priority for immigration. And the backlogs in terms of bringing over someone who's like a sibling of a citizen who was born in Mexico, we're talking something like a decade to 13 years. So it's a term that policy-wise refers to kind of the small slice of family-based immigration, but politically has come to mean the whole thing.
Well, the president's been talking a lot about chain migration. Let's listen to some of his comments from back in the middle of December, Dara. And I want to get your reaction to the way the president frames what he calls chain migration.
A single immigrant can begin a chain that could ultimately bring in dozens of increasingly distant relations. Because these individuals are admitted solely on the basis of family ties, not skill or not merit, most of this immigration is lower skilled, putting great strain on federal welfare.
Dara, the president paints a picture here of one migrant coming to the United States, sort of gaining a foothold and then opening the door to cousins, relatives, stepsisters, pretty much anyone in the family who wants to come. Is that an accurate picture that he's drawing?
The president is kind of taking the most extreme hypothetical scenario, something that, by the way, would take pretty much decades, and you ultimately have a bunch of people coming over in their 60s, and treating it as if that's the most common form of family-based immigration, which is not the case. Most people over the course of their lifetimes who come to the U.S. end up bringing over, you know, a couple of relatives, maybe just their, you know, spouse and children. Maybe they'll bring over their parents. It is theoretically possible under the law for something to happen like what the president is describing, in terms of, you know, maybe you ultimately bring over your sister whose husband can then petition for his parents, who can then petition for their children. But the other side of what the president's describing is this kind of rubber stamp process where, if as long as you want someone to come, they can come, which bears no relationship whatsoever to the way that people are actually vetted to come into the U.S. There is security vetting. There is kind of an assessment that if you're going to be a public charge, if you're going to use welfare, you won't be allowed to come into the U.S. So unsurprisingly for this president, he is taking something that, while not technically false, does misrepresent the way that people are actually vetted to come in.
Well, Dara, how did this one aspect of immigration policy become such a focus of the right and in the conservative news media, places like Fox News?
For a generation, Republicans rhetorically said, we love legal immigrants. We just don't like illegal ones, or we don't like unauthorized ones. a lot of conservatives, however, that wasn't really their problem with immigration. Their problem with immigration was they didn't want the cultural mix of America to change. They thought that America had a traditional culture and traditional values, and they didn't want people who didn't respect that culture and values to, you know, start dominating the American population. So anything that is going to change the, you know, demographic mix, anything where you're going to bring over a lot of children or you can't control the number of people who are coming in and make sure that every individual is being selected, is going to raise some red flags for them.
I mean, there have to be lots of examples about what immigration looks like if you only allow 25-year-old working-age males into the country. I think the construction of the railroads in the 1800s of this country had an immigration policy where only young men were allowed in, especially from Asia. Places like Dubai today have only young men coming in. What does immigration look like at those times and in those places when families don't come?
So what's interesting in what you're describing in both of the examples is that you're describing cases where low-skilled workers were needed just as a temporary labor force. We do have lots of examples of that. What we don't have any examples of are the kind of system that it seems like the Trump administration wants now, or at least the system that they're describing rhetorically, which is we only let in doctors. You know, we only let in individuals who have great educational qualifications who fill specific high-skilled needs in the economy. The weird thing about that is, for one thing, the countries that get named as examples of merit-based systems, Australia and Canada, have both had some problems with just selecting people based on merit. For one thing, they haven't had the history of being nations of immigrants that the U.S. has had, and so it hasn't been as much of a burden on their immigrant population to limit family-based immigration. But they've also, Canada in particular, had some issues with mismatches between the kinds of people who ideally they say they want and the needs they actually have in their economy, or the things that they can do to make sure immigrants actually do settle and integrate and put down roots in their communities. So it is wildly unclear what an ideal situation under the Trump administration's preferred immigration policy would look like.
Well, they're going to have to start to answer this question maybe in a substantive way over the next couple of weeks and months, because there is an immigration debate shaping up around recipients under the DACA program, 800,000 young people who came to this country. People are familiar with those DACA recipients now. Democrats and many Republicans say they want a way for those people to stay. The price, as the president and other Republicans have said, is money for a border wall and an end to this type of family migration, what the president calls chain migration. Is that the deal that's shaping up? What would that mean?
It is weirdly difficult at this point to say what the deal is that's shaping up, and maybe that's going to become clear in the next few days or weeks. But it has been very weird that Trump has paired money for a border wall, which is actually a really easy compromise to come to. It's not something that's going to be super hard for Democrats to give on. There will probably be some semantics on is it a fence or is it a wall, but you can easily see a world where Chuck Schumer says, yeah, we're giving him $1.5 billion, and in return, we're legalizing 700,000 people. But chain migration, or at least the way that Trump is expressing it, is he's asking for a cut in legal immigration to the U.S. going forward by as much as 50% in exchange for legalization of 700,000 of the 11,000 unauthorized immigrants currently in the U.S. That doesn't seem like a super even deal. The continued insistence on ending chain migration in the White House right now seems like a signal that they're less interested in getting to a deal on DACA than they are in treating their entire immigration agenda, which is a radical remaking of American immigration policy, as this obvious done deal that Democrats must ultimately fold on.
Dara Lind from Vox, thanks so much.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.